Hey, everybody. Thank you for tuning into the Performance Anxiety Podcast. Once again, I am your host, Mark. And Dianthus is an unusual band. It's a band made up of twin sisters, Jessica and Jackie Perry, on drums and guitar, respectively. Started off playing classical piano, but once they heard Black Veil Brides, it was all over. They put the piano aside for guitar and drums and started writing some pretty heavy music. They honed their chops on covers and released their originals on SoundCloud. When they started to work on their debut album, they had the opportunity to work with Jinx from Black Veil Brides. And just as the duo began working on their new album, the lockdowns hit. That forced them to take a different approach to their writing. I think it paid off in the quality of the songs, particularly in their lyrics. And currently they're working on arranging the songs from their new album, Realms, so they can sound just as good live as they do on the album. Look out for their live shows and give them a follow on social media, and you can check out dianthuslive.com for all their links. Give us a follow at Performance ANX on social media, and you can help us out with a coffee at ko-fi.com/performanceanxiety, or buy some merch at performanceanx.threadless.com. Rate and review, it really does help. And don't forget to check out the other great shows on the Pantheon Podcast Network. But right now, give it up for Dianthus on Performance Anxiety.
What's up? This is Dianthus. I'm Jessica.
And I'm Jackie.
And you're listening to the Performance Anxiety Podcast. And once again, our second album, Realms, is out now on all streaming platforms. So make sure you listen today and grab the physical copies as well through DecoEntertainment.com. You know how many times we practice that.
Thank you, guys. I've really been enjoying both albums. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to our music.
Of course. I have been enjoying discovering you guys. It's a real treat to, it's going to sound weird, to find you existed. So.
I know, yeah. Now you know we exist.
Yeah. Right. So what I like to do is to find out how you got into music in the first place. I think that helps to set the stage for where you are now. So.
Yeah.
You guys are fraternal twins.
Yep.
All right. So not identical, fraternal. Which one of you is older?
That would be me. So I'm Jessica. Yeah, we're just a minute apart, actually. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. I came out in the world first, I guess. Yeah. I could have been Jackie, though. She's against me all the time.
It's going to be the other way around. Saying you're older at some point, so...
Right. Yeah,
that
is true.
How was the household growing up? Was there a lot of music growing up? Was there a lot of creativity in the household?
Our mom played a lot of piano as a kid, and you know, we would hear her occasionally sitting down at the piano to play some of the songs she used to play as a kid.
Okay.
And we'd always have the piano there. Our dad was never musical, but he was still very supportive of our band.
He listened to a lot of good bands.
Yeah. But we would always have music playing, like anybody, to get you through the day.
Okay.
So, yeah.
When did music really start to have an impact on you? When did you really like start to notice music and think, this is really something I might like to learn more about?
It actually started kind of early for us, because you know, it kind of happened by chance that we got involved in music, because our neighbors were they were moving out at the time, and we were only seven, and they couldn't bring their piano. Their acoustic piano is too big, so they let us have the piano. And
wow.
Then you know, naturally we gravitated to it. So it found its way in our home, the music did. So we loved the piano, we loved the challenge, so that's how it got started for us.
So, and you both started off playing classical piano.
Yes. Yeah. Right when we got the piano in the house, we started taking lessons right away, because we were kind of just doing the chopsticks, you know, we didn't know what we were doing. But we want to use all of our fingers, you know? So yeah, we took classical lessons.
Mm-hmm. Was that something that you two wanted to do, or just that your parents kind of decided you should do?
We didn't really know what to do because we were so young at the time. But our mom, you know, thankfully for her, she chose a really good teacher for us, Miss Elsie. She's a great teacher.
Yeah.
I don't know if she still gives lessons, but she taught us a lot. And, you know, after taking lessons with her, then we kind of had a passion for classical after that. Yes.
Okay. Okay. So your mom noticed you guys banging around on the piano and thought, well, let's get them some lessons and get some structure to this.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And there was no YouTube lessons, so we had in-person lessons. So we're so grateful for that, yeah.
Yeah, it makes a big difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very different, yeah.
The band's pretty heavy. When did the heavy music really start to take a hold in your listening, like as a genre that you enjoyed listening to?
Yeah, I'd probably say high school. Yeah, because before high school, we were listening to a lot of classic rock bands, like, you know, Van Halen, you know, that whole kind of scene. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. We still love that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there was this other band that came into play. They're called Black Veil Brides. And after we listened to them, we, you know, they kind of bridged the gap between rock and heavy.
Okay.
Yeah, so, yeah, we discovered a lot of bands after them. Yeah, we explored the Hot Topic. That's what we did. we found all those kind of modern metal bands,
yeah,
I guess.
Bring Me the Horizon, all
we're
that.
Like, who are these people, you know? So that's how it happened, too. High school age.
Bridging the gap between the That's So Raven concert that you guys went to. And
yeah, that's right.
Exactly. Yeah, that was middle school. I think we went to that one.
Yes,
that was fun.
Our first concert, right?
It happened to be our first concert.
That's hey, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, concert experiences are concert experiences. They're fun no matter what.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a whole experience.
And you guys were actually also cheerleaders in high school, not necessarily like the big metal kids.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Anything but the metal kids in high school. I mean, we were reserved and oddly shy, even though we were on the cheer team. But it kind of brought us out of our shell, kind of like music does.
Okay.
But, you know, being in cheer, we were actually doing a lot of athletic stuff. We were doing stunts and we would be the flyers. So it helped us kind of, I don't know, get kind of toned.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was fun, though. It was a good experience. And then no one knew that we listened to, like, Black Veil Brides, you know, during the pep rally.
Yeah. Well, actually, yeah. Before, like, every, like, showcase we had, nobody knew, but we were listening to, like, heavy bands, Slipknot, just to get stoked, you know. And it's funny because on the outside, we're, like, cheerleaders, but on the inside, we're listening to metal.
Oh,
right?
My
yeah.
Gosh.
It was so strange. Yeah. It was only sport-ish that we were good at, I guess. No basketball, no soccer. Yeah. Our dad tried to put us in baseball, and I was like, no.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, man. We weren't good at those.
You guys are too busy playing the classical piano. Were you still playing piano at this point, taking lessons, or had you kind of put that aside?
Yes, high school. We continued our lessons throughout high school, and then after high school, we kind of postponed the lessons and stuff. But it continued for a while, the classical piano lesson.
Mm-hmm. When did guitar and drums come into the picture?
Oh, that was actually middle school because, the very first thing we did was piano at age 7. And then middle school, we were like age 14 and we joined a rock school. And that's where we kind of picked up different instruments. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
that's so awesome.
For age 14 for both of us.
I think about 14, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, fun.
So how did you guys choose which instruments you were going to be playing?
I think we naturally kind of did because we naturally chose the instruments we did because before we were doing the rock school band in middle school, as kids in elementary, we always thought it was cool to have a band, and we'd have like our imaginary band and have the name and stuff like, oh, I'll play this, I'll play drums, you play guitar. And yeah, then we actually did pursue those instruments. Like, I don't know why I chose drums. I don't know why you chose guitar, but it worked out. Yeah.
Just something instinctual.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Without a healthy mind, being truly happy and at peace is hard. The good news is, therapy works. But what is therapy exactly? It's whatever you want it to be. Maybe you're not feeling motivated right now and would like some tools to help. Or maybe you're feeling insecure in relationships or at work, not dealing well with the stress. Whatever you need, it's time to stop being ashamed of normal human struggles and start feeling better because you deserve to be happy. And now you don't have to worry about finding an in-person therapist near you to help. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. try doing that in person. So join the millions of people who are seeing what online therapy is really about. It's always a good time to invest in yourself because you are your greatest asset. And a special offer to Performance Anxiety listeners, you can get 10% off your first month of professional therapy at betterhelp.com/performanceanxiety. That's betterhelp.com/performanceanxiety. Thanks again to BetterHelp for sponsoring this podcast. When did you guys start playing as a band?
As a band, that was probably the year 2015. That was when Dianthus was born, this whole project.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's been a long time coming, and we've grown from that point. So
we've been in bands before that too. Even in the whole rock school thing, that was what got us got the ball rolling with the band. So
Have you always been in bands together, or were you, like at the rock school, were you doing separate bands?
It was a mixture of both. Yeah, we would every season, I guess, we would be rotated in different bands, and sometimes we'd have each other as band members, and then we'd have separate bands, which is like culture shock. Where's my twin?
Yeah, yeah, you guys have been together since, you know, before birth.
Yeah. It was healthy though to have our own projects for a time too, and
working with other people.
Yeah, I know. But now we're always together, so
so
it worked out.
Was there any idea of maybe pursuing piano professionally, or was that gone by high school?
You know what? We never actually thought of that, but you know, once we picked up the rock instruments, it shifted our focus a little bit, but we never wanted to put the piano down because we always loved warming up and playing songs on the piano. Yeah. So we always come back to it, but I don't think we ever had that thought.
You're kind of doing it now,
you know,
though.
You're playing. Yeah, I would love to, though.
Well, I mean, it's definitely making an appearance in the music, so you're kind of doing it.
Yeah. Right. We take turns to the piano part too. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you guys are switching back and forth depending on the song?
Yes. Yeah. Depending on who comes up with the idea, that's the person that records it pretty much. So yeah, it's a half and half with piano.
Was there a moment when the bulb switched on to say, this is something I want to do for a living? This is, you know, my calling?
I think after high school, because, you know, we were having a lot of fun in cheer too and doing that kind of sport, but we were also having a lot of fun writing music and playing covers and stuff in the rock school. Mm-hmm. So I think after high school, we really thought about what we like to do and what we could do for a long time. We probably couldn't stunt for a long time.
Yeah.
So I think we could try it, but music seemed to be the thing that you can do forever. So
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we were very inspired, especially high school, like listening to all these, like, you know, bands that we see in Hot Topic and realizing that they're obviously way past their high school age, but they're still doing what they love. Yeah. And it's like, hey, they're still rocking it. And
yeah,
that could be us in, like, I don't know, 5 years, and here we are. So
yeah.
Kind of.
Right.
Yeah.
So what bands were you guys listening to at that point when you really started to think seriously about music?
A lot of My Chemical Romance. That's what we kind of listening to in high school, and that band Black Veil Brides. Lots of Bullet for My Valentine.
Okay.
Lots of Hot Topic.
Well, I did hear that maybe some bands were not so big at Hot Topic, like Rush.
Oh right, mm-hmm. Exactly. We actually got introduced to them through our dad. Like our dad was telling us about them, and I think we discovered them around middle school too. So yeah, we're big Rush fans too as well. And Tool kind of came later for us, but yeah, love those bands.
Oh yeah. So do you guys consider yourselves more of a metal band or a prog band?
We're still trying to figure that out.
That's fair.
I think more metal for sure. There's definitely prog stuff, but the whole finish of the songs is probably more metal, I would say. The guitars and all that.
Yeah, it's true.
All right, so the next question is one that you guys have been asked, I'm sure, every single interview, is Dianthus. Mm-hmm. Where did the name come from? How did you guys choose it?
Yeah, I thought of the band name, and I liked what Dianthus meant, but like what it symbolized. Mm-hmm. And most people don't know, but it's actually a type of flower.
Right.
And it kind of fits with us because it's got, you know, that feminine aspect. But it symbolizes longevity. So we want our music to last a long time, just like that.
That's a great, I mean, it's also got, you know, it's got a metal sound to it, Dianthus.
Yeah. Yeah. But we love the one word band names like Metallica, you know.
Yeah.
This one word. Yeah, exactly.
It's either like one or one syllable, well, one word or four syllables. That's like,
right. Oh, that's right.
Metallica, Iron Maiden.
Yeah, something. I think there's just three.
Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, Led Zeppelin, yeah. It's very like simple and easy to remember.
I think depending on how you say Led Zeppelin, it could be three or four. I don't know.
The Zeppelin part. Led Zeppelin. Yeah.
If you think about it too long, you go nuts. So.
Exactly.
I did see several videos for you guys, and the band consists of the U2 twins, but I've also seen some live shots with various other people playing with you. Now, are they augmenting the band at the time, or are they actual members of the band, or how does that work?
Yeah. So there actually are our live session players. So yeah, okay. We have a live bass player and then a guitarist, and it never used to be that way. We used to play as a 2-piece band, and then we realized, like, you know, we want to sound a little bit heavier on stage too, and you need a real bass player too. So yeah, so they've been working out really great.
Awesome.
Session players. Yeah.
So did you guys ever get a little nervous on stage, just the two of you? Because you can't really blame accents on anybody.
Oh, I know. Right. Yeah, right. There's a lot of pressure, you know, when it's just the two of us and there's only one guitar, only one drummer, you know, because those are the main instruments. But we would never feel like nervous. We would feel a little bit anxious. But there was a lot of work, though, compared to as far as engaging the crowd, because we were stuck on our instruments.
Oh,
like, I couldn't go anywhere because I'm singing and she's locked down at the drum kit. Right. So, yeah. Yeah, we're trying to do the 21 Pilots thing, but I couldn't jump off the kit because I'm stuck doing prog beats. I can't program this stuff yet.
Right, yeah.
It was hard in some ways. So,
when did you guys first start performing? Like, how old were you? I mean, was it piano recitals or was it?
Okay. It was actually piano recitals. It was age 7. Well, actually, for music, it was the piano recitals. But when we were little kids, we would do showcases, like at the fairs, Broadway stuff.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Our mom had us into like theater and stuff.
Theater. Yeah.
But we weren't too much into it. We were just thrown on the stage pretty much. So we would just have our microphones.
Wow.
We're always on the stage. Yeah.
So, Jackie, you're the lead vocalist in the band.
Mm-hmm.
And Jessica, you do a lot of the background vocals, and I love that the blood harmony that you guys do, that only siblings can have. It's just incredible. I absolutely love it.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Was it a clear cut definition of who was going to be the lead singer and who was going to do the background more, or does it switch, or is it something in between?
I think at the time, I was taking vocal lessons while Jessica was, focusing on her craft, doing drums. Mm-hmm. And, we both sing, you know, equally pretty much. But I think, as far as that position, I think it's easier for a guitar player to sing for a long amount of time, considering what she's doing on the drums.
Yeah.
Like, I have her up front too. She could probably sing my parts on the drums, but, you know, she'll probably be winded.
Yeah.
So it's good. Yeah, take a break.
Right, it seemed good that way too.
Yeah, I mean, God, I mean, I'm always blown away by singing drummers. That's just, I don't know, you got four limbs doing all different kinds of things and singing.
Yeah.
Unreal.
You have to go on autopilot for a bit, yeah.
Yeah, but and that doesn't necessarily make for a great performance, you know. So,
sometimes.
If you're on autopilot, something can get lost. Not necessarily, but sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. You still gotta be careful.
Yeah.
It's all muscle memory with drums.
Oh, okay, that's a good point. That's a good point. Now, you guys started off as a SoundCloud band. Am I correct with that?
We actually did. That was the first streaming platform I think we had.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if we still have one. I don't know. Our SoundCloud, like Spotify, for so many years. But
right.
Yeah, we did start off with that though. Yeah.
Was that how you guys kind of got to? I guess discovered.
In a way, it was the only platform we had to showcase our demos.
Okay.
So we didn't get discovered directly through the platform, but we had the platform to share our music with certain people. So
okay, mm-hmm.
Yeah, it did help.
Are you playing out a lot before this? Is like let's go back to like before the first album. Are you playing locally a lot? Are you gigging around? Are you hooking up with other bands and touring? How is life for you guys before the first album comes out?
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. Before that, yeah, thinking back, we were playing a lot of local shows. We wanted to tour. We always had dreams to tour right away, but, you know, we wanted to finish original music first. So we were just playing small shows, no big tours or anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you guys were, and you were writing your music at this time. So are you playing like a mix of covers and originals, or is it all originals?
It was actually, mostly covers actually at the time, just to get us used to like, higher energy shows and all that. Okay. And then slowly became more originals over time.
When did you start writing your own material and focusing more on writing your own material?
I'd probably say it was the year 2015, because, when you have a new band name, a new brands and everything, you kind of just want to start fresh anyways. Yeah. So that was the year that we started writing our own stuff. Mm-hmm.
Is there a primary songwriter, or is everything collaborative?
It's very collaborative. Yeah, it's always us two. Yeah.
Okay. Do one of you focus on lyrics more than the other, or is that collaborative also?
Mm-hmm. I think it's pretty. It's collaborative in some ways too. I think to get the ball rolling with lyrics, sometimes I have a knack for it. I like to scribble a lot of the lyrics down in my notebook. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of gets the ball rolling, and then Jackie will fill in the blanks. I find that she does most of the lyrics for like verses and intros, and I kind of have a knack for like the choruses and kind of getting a melodic line there. So
I think because of the groove too, like with the drumming and stuff, like I feel like I can phrase different words a certain way that she wouldn't think of, because I have that rhythm kind of thing. So then she does the chorus. Yeah,
that makes a lot of sense. Okay. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. At what point did you start thinking about recording your first album, Worth Living For?
Okay. Actually, our manager at the time pushed us to do that. We always did want to do an album, but, we didn't have the timeline for it.
Right.
And we didn't know how to plan it out. But, we actually did that whole album. We wrote and recorded everything in 3 months.
Wow.
So it was very fast.
Oh, my gosh.
Very fast-paced. I think, actually, we had half the album done, and then, we only had 3 months to finish the other half, right?
It was something.
This back in 2017, so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's a crazy, crazy ride.
Yeah.
That's a fast turnaround.
It's very fast. Yeah. We didn't even have a click track or a tempo map, so it was just raw.
Oh, wow.
I think I tried to have the click, and then the engineer was like, no, just have your sister, play guitar in the room. And that's how we actually recorded the drums. She was in the same room.
Really? Oh, that's fascinating. So about that twin connection.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. I had so much energy. And then when she came in the room, it's like, I kind of realized I need to just relax and just record the drums. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that twin connection really a thing? I mean, do you guys feel that? And can you, does it help your music?
Yeah, it definitely does. There's definitely a synergy.
Wow.
Yeah, because, since we play different instruments, we naturally read each other and we get the cues and stuff.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, definitely, especially in music, though.
Yeah, it was funny because there was one point where the session players we had a couple years back, something happened and we were using backtracks for the first time
at a live show.
Yeah, we fell off the tracks, and then my sister and I were the only ones that stayed together, and the two were like, what happened? It wasn't their fault. We were the ones that messed up, but we caught on quicker, though. Yeah.
And they're like, what happened?
That's funny. Oh, my God. So did you guys produce that and release it all independently on your own?
Oh, that first record?
Yeah.
Oh, we worked with Jinx, actually.
Okay.
A Black Friday. Yeah. So he was the producer for that, and then we recorded at Matt Sorum's home studio. So it was really
okay.
Cool.
So that's how early that relationship started then. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, it was pretty early on. Yeah.
So how did you get hooked up with Matt and Jinx?
Yeah, it was for our manager at the time. He was great friends with them, and one thing led to the next.
Okay.
And Jinx is good friends with Matt Sorum, so that's how that connection came about.
I really did enjoy the first album. It's it's got a lot of different sounds to it. It's not just a heavy album. There's, you know, a lot of softer songs too. And I am a sucker for pinch harmonics, so I love While We Live.
Thank you. That song's a lot of fun live, too.
I'll bet. Pitch harmonics always get me. I don't know why. I don't know what it is. There's something about that little squeal.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll tell you one thing. There's a lot more piano in that than I expected.
Yeah, we definitely implemented a lot. And it all just came from like how we wanted the album to be as a whole. You know, the title "Worth Living For," it's very emotional, and it kind of takes you on that journey. So you need that emotional piano sometimes.
Oh, for sure, for sure. Yeah. And I'm assuming that was both of you playing the piano throughout the whole album.
It was either me or her sharing parts, right?
And you re-released it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we did. Yeah,
right. Tell me a little bit more about why you did that.
Yeah, it was actually a very important step for us to kind of re-release it because, you know, at the time we weren't really under a label. Mm-hmm. So it didn't have the exposure that we really wanted it to. And plus the old artwork too, we felt it could be represented a little more clearer. Okay. So yeah, we with Deco, we're able to kind of pitch it to more platforms, and the new cover had us on it, so people who knew who we were. Mm-hmm. So it was a better branding plan or strategy. Yeah.
Was there any issue with the sound? When you remastered it, did you pull anything out that maybe you didn't hear in the first time, the first release, or did the music stay pretty much the same?
I think the music changed a little bit. I think because in the previous sound, it was very very high gain sounds, especially with the guitar. Okay. And when we remastered it, it kind of toned down more with the drums, and the vocals peeked through a little bit more. So, excellent. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That came out in 2020? Was that the re-release?
The re-release was August of 2020, I think.
Okay.
But the first time it came out was, I think, 2018.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And then the new album, you guys started working on that. Now, was there a lot of touring or playing live in between?
Just some local shows to us, like in Anaheim, but we hope to tour after, you know, since we released the album, we got to go out to, you know, further than California.
Oh, yeah. Were the songs for Realms developing at that point, or was that more of a sit down and writing specifically for the new album?
Yeah, it was definitely more of a, like a sit down kind of pre-production, like just getting in that mindset of writing again. Yeah, we weren't playing a lot of shows at that time because obviously the pandemic was in full effect, and we're like just about to record, and then it got, you know, shut down with the recording process. So we had lots of time to work on the album.
Yeah.
So nothing.
So you weren't working out the songs live before the pandemic hit, I guess is what
we did. I think we did play Realms maybe live, just that song once, I think, just to get the feel of it. And after that, we kept writing. So that's right.
So I'm assuming you had to approach Realms a little differently than the first album because everything was in lockdown.
Right. Definitely. Yeah. We had a lot of time to kind of actually play the songs together in our practice space and making sure that we can handle it live. Especially with the guitars, there's lots of stuff going on. And singing and playing. You want to make sure you can, like, you know, do both. Yeah.
Okay. Did the pandemic affect the writing at all? the album sounds a little bit heavier than the first one. Fewer softer songs, but there's definitely some. I mean, there's definitely some, there's definitely piano in there with Heart's Ease, Nora's Finding, beautiful piano in those songs. Was the pandemic an influence in what you were writing about, or the approach you took to the songs in any way?
That's kind of, I think the pandemic did kind of affect our recording, especially, I noticed it with our vocals, because we would have, you know, a couple months in between recording and, you know, even just 2 months not being in the studio, you're like, I want to get these ideas out. It pours out. Yeah. Even through the, through the guitars and the drums, you hit the drums a little bit more harder. You play a little bit more with feeling, and it came through. Definitely.
I love the heaviness of the album, but one of the things I really like is the clean vocals.
Thank you. Yeah, there's not a lot of processing on them. It's very kind of organic sounding.
And there's not a whole lot of screaming or the Cookie Monster kind of vocals. And in fact, I don't think there's any, now that I'm thinking about it.
No, it's definitely all clean vocals. Yeah, so we're kind of continuing what we did in Worth Living For with that kind of a sound. So,
I love that sound, and I think that's one of the things that kind of sets you guys apart from some of the contemporaries is the clean vocals, the beautiful harmonies that you could only get with siblings. And
Thank you.
And I think that's one of the things I was drawn to is the uniqueness of the sound. The second album, Realms, it sounds like you guys really grew as far as the songwriting. I can definitely, especially vocally.
Yes.
Vocally,
yeah. Vocals especially, yeah. There's some songs I look back on, like in Worth Living For, I'm like, man, my voice is high. Like, even on Hazel Eyes, like our music video for that, the audio, you know.
The haze within your hazel eyes, tell me a tale I can recognize. Rumors stagger like stealing songs, building walls I'd have to climb. Your face frame of my silent scream of mine. When I'm weak, I cannot speak. I'm running on empty. Not our sure
be. But it's okay to leave those things up, you know, because you see how far you've come.
And oh, absolutely.
Same with Jessica too. Yeah, we're trying different things too. Like, yeah, with the harmonies, we're exploring different ranges of our void.
Okay.
And then kind of discovering our sweet spot with our vocals and, you know, me singing higher backups and Jackie kind of mid-range. Like, we found ourselves more. Yeah.
Like in Don't Change, the chorus in Don't Change. I love that.
That's one of our favorites too. Yeah, that was
your idea, the chorus.
So are you guys planning are you out there playing live yet? I know things have, I'm out in close to DC and things have opened up and there's, you know, shows all over the place, and you guys are out in California.
Yeah.
How is the atmosphere out there? Are you able to get out and play live at all, or?
Yeah. There's actually been more venues opening, and you know, it's good to see live shows happening. And
how has the practice for the new songs? How are the songs changing at all? Because there's the songs are pretty dense with guitars and pianos, synths. Some of the songs have some, if I'm not mistaken, have a strings that may be in the on the first album. I'm trying to remember. But yeah. How is the arranging for the songs changing them for a live setting?
Yeah, for the live setting, we try to, you know, incorporate as much as we can from what we did with the record, having them on our tracks too, because we love the piano and the synth live.
Yeah.
It cuts through and it really makes an impact too. Mm-hmm. But there's some songs with fade outs, so obviously we're kind of reworking some of the structure and stuff. But it's really crazy to actually realize we're playing the new songs live. So it's been fun, yeah, rehearsals and all that.
Yeah.
I would love to see you guys live. I hope you can come to the East Coast at some point soon. Cause
oh yes,
yes, we'd love to. Yeah, we'll make it happen.
Oh, excellent, perfect. Well, I'm there. Now, are you guys? I heard Jessica that you have a pair of drumsticks signed by Steve Gadd, and I've got my hand right in front of the camera. Oh, sorry about that.
I do. Yeah, they're actually like deep in my room right now, where no one can touch them. They're safe in the safe. I'm just kidding. So, yeah, I do have them. Safe in the safe.
He's an incredible drummer. Oh my gosh, I love Steve Gadd. How did you get those?
Oh, it was so crazy. So the drum instructor that I worked with for a while, he invited me to Steve Gadd's concert. It was at the Catalina Club in LA. So he was telling me about, you know, Steve Gadd's coming, you gotta come. So Jackie came with me and we watched the concert, and he was so amazing live, and we actually seen Danny Carey from Tool there too.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
really two icons in one night.
That's amazing. Yeah.
So good, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
He's a great guy. Yeah.
So I guess, did you get a chance to meet Steve afterwards, and he gave you the sticks, or?
Yeah, we did. We ran straight to his merch table, and then he had the drumsticks out, and those were selling out quick. So, And he signed it right in front of me, and we got some shirts. So
I think,
super cool.
Is it hard to sign drumsticks? They're round.
Yeah, I know his drumsticks, they were all like a black color, so he had the silver Sharpie, and they were like really skinny drumsticks. He's like trying to sign them. But yeah, so crazy.
So yeah. Are you guys big memorabilia collectors?
Not really memorabilia, but we love antiques though. Like we love
really?
Stuff like that. Yeah, we're big time antiquers, and you can kind of see that in our music videos too. Wow.
Yeah. But yeah, rock memorabilia is really fun though. Yeah.
You guys have also done some things outside of music, which I find really interesting. You worked on a comic and some jewelry.
Yes.
So you guys are just really creative.
Yeah. Thank and you. You know, we credit that, you know, to our label, you know, Deco Entertainment. They completely let us have freedom and discovering new ways to market ourselves. And the comic book just seemed so natural with Realms, because it's a visual experience too. And having a comic book, it'll pull people into the world of Realms, and we think it'll be a cool turnout. So
what's the name of the comic? How do you find it?
Well, as of now, like the title of it's kind of a secret until it's really
fair enough.
Yeah. Gotta keep it secret, but it'll be out soon, hopefully. yeah, definitely.
When you first started working on Realms, you're going to release a single a month until the entire album came out.
Yeah.
What was that experience like? How did that all come to be, and what was the end result?
Yeah, we actually, that plan kind of changed after the third song because, it was mid-pandemic, so recording time got pushed back and we weren't able to release the rest of the singles each month. Mm-hmm. But even just releasing a single a month, like, it was really good for our fans too, because, you know, they were always excited and waiting for something new. And, you know, it's okay though, like, if, you know, plans like that don't happen, because, you know, there will be something else for them to latch on to.
It was a difficult time. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
So were you working on one song at a time to completion and then releasing that? Or were you just, did you have like three done and then just kind of space them out?
Right. Mm-hmm. We're kind of playing it by ear with the producer we were working with, Steve Evitt. So we're kind of just going by however many we could finish in a day.
Wow.
So like with drum tracking, like obviously it wasn't like too much tracking. It was like at most two songs
per drum day.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just kind of however long we could take, I guess.
Yeah.
So all the time.
What was the biggest difference for you guys between the first album and the second album in recording? I know that the pandemic hit and made things really difficult, but was there anything in particular that you felt changed between the two for you on a personal level?
Our approach to the instrument. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And plus, like, when you're in the studio, drums are always tracked first. So, yeah, like Jackie was saying, we had lots of time to kind of work with the songs and getting situated with the parts. But the main thing was the tempo maps. I was able to take my time and run through all the tempos and the changes, and we could actually use that in the studio. So
you guys do a lot of tempo changes in your songs, which is,
mm-hmm.
I'm a prog fan, so I like that.
Yeah, awesome. It's a good challenge for us. That's why we like it, too.
I mean, what's the hardest thing for you guys to do live? Because, like you said, your songs are so dense. What's the biggest challenge to transforming them from what you hear on the album to what you're going to hear on a stage?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. I think the biggest, I guess, challenge is just to not overthink it. Like, same with any instrument. It's like, if you really think about, you know, this chord is a C sharp minor, like, you can't like think about it. You just kind of have to go on autopilot, but still have that feeling there. And, you know, just have fun too. Because if you overthink, like, the time signatures and stuff like that, it'll slow you down. So right. If you can just have fun, relax, and the tone too, like knowing what we want the tone to sound like live, mm-hmm. like emulating that, that matters, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. That's a great answer.
Thank you.
Are you both gearheads? Do you guys like to collect gear or pay a lot of attention to gear?
Yeah, we definitely pay really close detail to gear, and we always want, like, we all, like, as musicians, we always want the best stuff, right?
Right.
But as far as our genre of metal, like, we love to see what other metalheads use, like other guitar players and drummers, and what makes them faster on double bass, you know, mm-hmm. certain things like that. So yeah, we're gear junkies.
Do you have a current favorite piece of gear that you've gotten?
I probably have to say my Fort and Grind pedal. It's a distortion pedal with a channel switcher.
So oh, it can cool.
go, yeah, from clean guitar parts to like full on metal. And it's got a built in distortion dial too. So,
oh, wow. Yeah. That is cool.
Looks cool too. It's like a black, it's locked down on my board right now, but it's black and embossed with skulls and stuff.
Oh, nice.
It's cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's really cool. Yeah. I'm trying to think. And for me, I don't know. Probably my snare drum.
So, all right, so what brand of drums and guitars are you guys using? You guys are awesome. You have endorsements. I mean, you guys are really taking off here. So what are you guys using right now?
Oh, definitely. Oh, you know, I start first. Drums, yeah. I have as much as Jackie. Great. Yeah. But, anyways, yeah, with drums, though, I play Tama. And that's because I love, you know, Mario DePlantier from Gojira. He plays Tama drums and a lot of other drummers I love. So Tama Star Classic, and then drumsticks are Vic Firth. I always played Vic Firth ever since I picked up drums. And the cymbals are Zildjian.
So, oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah. And for guitars, I really love Charvel guitars. They both came with EMG pickups, which were endorsed with, so it worked out perfectly there.
Nice.
And I love Richter straps too. I think they're from Germany, and they make really good high quality leather guitar straps, very comfortable. And that's pretty much my setup. Not as much as you thought, huh? I guess. Are you missing one? That's the pedals. No. Oh yeah, the pedals are a different story. Yeah.
How big is your pedal board? Because you got a pretty thick sound.
Oh, yeah. It's about, it's behind me right now, but it's the Pedal Train Classic 1. So I think it's less than 20 inches. It's pretty small.
Okay.
So, yeah, I just have a basic delay pedal. And, yeah, that distortion pedal I was telling you about, and then a volume pedal and a tuner.
So, yeah. That's good.
Get that. You'll always sound good if you have that.
Yeah. How can people follow you guys on social media? How can they pick up the albums and keep track of upcoming shows and releases and whatever you guys are up to?
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. I would say the best place to find us is through our website. So that's dianthuslive.com. And from there, you can find all of our social handles. We're on Instagram, dianthusfan, and Facebook, dianthusofficial. A lot of other platforms, too. But that's the main website, dianthuslive.com.
Excellent. And the new album is Realms, and it's I've really been enjoying it. It is so good.
Thank you so much.
Well, I want to thank you guys for joining me. I've taken up a lot of your evenings tonight, so thank you so much. This has been awesome to get in touch with you guys and learn more about the music and the history of the band. And
of course.
Hopefully you guys can get out to the East Coast and I can catch a show somewhere.
Yes, that'd be great. Yeah, thank you so much.